another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream and you can holler.
Hello, this is Jack Spierko with yet another edition of the Survival Podcast. One man's view of the changing world in the changing economic times, and the things that we can do to live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't. Well, folks, it's been eventful, hasn't it, for the past couple weeks. They did a lot of shows on the bailout, and our congressional clowns actually surprised us, you know, this week, and had a spine and turned it down, and in spite of that, after the market tumbled 777 points on Monday, it came back yesterday, almost 500, 487 or something like that, it regained. It's not going to be a stock market report, but look for it to go down some today, and back up some, and down some, and bounce around. It's these idiots continue to debate this different forms of this bailout package. If you don't know what's going on there, and again, I'm not going to stay on this thing long today, I just want you to know what's going on, because I've seen questions about it in the forum and the blog. Today, the Senate is kicking this thing around. And they're not kicking around the exact same thing the House did. They're making changes to it, modifications to it, etc. They're taking their shot at it. And what they'll do is whatever they pass, and they'll pass something because they're more willing to do so. And part, you understand why they're more willing to do so. Senators get elected every 6 years, which means only about one-third of the Senate is up for re-election this time. So if we wanted to fire the entire Senate, it would take us 3 election cycles to get rid of all of them, all right? 2 main elections and 1 midterm. Now, so they're a lot more stable, and it's not a bad thing. The government was designed to be that way. It was designed to make the Senate the more conservative, more stable of the two bodies, more willing to put their necks on the line because they had longer for whatever they did to work, and they were counterbalanced by a House of Representatives. And the House of Representatives, of course, gets elected every 2 years. That means we can fire all of them if we want to in one shot. So when you call your representative and say, hey, look, you vote for this thing, you're out, he knew that within about a month and a few days, you had an opportunity to make good on that threat. You might just have enough focus and attention to pay attention for 30, 40 days. All right? Are you scared? Senator, if he's up for re-election, he may feel the same way. Okay? But, you know, your entire state votes on him, so, you know, one call is a little less effective. But when it's like 90-1 against this thing, people were a little scared. But if the senator that you're calling is not up for re-election this time, and he's not up for re-election for another 2 years or another 4 years, he figures by then we won't be talking about this bailout. We'll have other problems, and, you know, he'll be able to let that, you know, fly off his back. And then there's the people that are in, you know, districts that are so Democrat or so Republican, they know they're not going to lose their job. So between those two factors, the Senate's probably going to be able to pass something. The question then is going to be when they send it back to Congress, because it involves spending money, it's got to go through Congress. And they send it back to the House. Will the House pass it? And we don't know, but they probably will, because if it doesn't work out now, they'll be able to blame it on the Senate, and they'll say we took their advice and their wisdom and blah, 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 and, you know, they'll probably ram this thing through. Like I've been saying from the beginning, sooner or later there will be a bill, because it's in the best interest of the government to have one. Big banks will get wealthy, and the government will get more power, which is their form of wealth, okay? You want to understand that, you can go back and listen to my shows on the bailout over the past few days and get it. Friday's show of last week, specifically, will give you a very good understanding of exactly who would benefit from this. So I'm not going to say any more on that, because we're going to talk about another practical matter today, and that is I'm going to talk to you about ways that people can create either secondary incomes or completely independent income streams from normal channels of employment today. Now, I want to say something before I go into this. I'm not an expert on a lot of these fields that I'm going to talk about. Some of them I am. Most of them I am not. I do not know what legal hurdles exist in your area. And I'm not saying that if you do one of them, you will be successful, because I don't know what you're capable of, what effort you're willing to put in, and what the market around you is like. This is just going to be me going through a couple dozen of different ideas that for one reason or another I think are valid ideas for a way people can make money. for themselves and earn a living for themselves independent of employment. And most of them are going to be things that can be done on one level or another of part-time, where you can keep a job and kind of test whether these things work before you went into a full-time situation, or develop a true part-time business for yourself while you continue to work another job so that you can increase the income stream like we talked about yesterday. The main reason I'm doing this is I'm starting to see some discussion going on in the forums about people discussing different ways to do this. And when I see that, I know that there's interest in it in the audience, and I try to give you guys what you're interested in. So that's kind of my disclaimer and my reasoning for doing this. And the other thing I want to point out is I'm going to talk about some stuff today that's kind of technical that you could do on a computer. I'm going to talk about some hands-on building construction type things, some hands-on consulting type things where you actually would go into people's homes or businesses and assist them. And some of these things are going to be things that would probably be very beneficial to be doing after we had a shit-hit-the-fan scenario, where if the economy completely goes into dust and you're growing food or producing energy from solar arrays, you probably could find work, all right? Some of them may not be, all right? Some of them may not be the greatest thing in the world if society completely collapses. And if we have a complete meltdown, you know, the end of the world as we know it, where it's people out in the streets burning down buildings and shooting at each other and people have to hole up, well, none of them would probably be that good until society began to rebuild itself. Unlike most survivalists, though, folks, I have a remarkably optimistic view of the future. I see lots of potential for catastrophe and plenty of potential to avoid, mitigate, or rebuild after said catastrophes. All right, and people have asked me, you know, how can you have such a fundamental understanding, for instance, of how screwed our economy is, how our fiat currency is virtually worthless, how the abandonment of the gold standard has allowed us to print money at will, and still be optimistic that after there's, you know, sometime there'll be a true economic collapse of our currency. Why do you think that we'll put it back together? Why do you think that we'll rebuild? And it's just because, well, we always have. And I don't mean we as in the United States, I mean we as humans. For instance, if you took about 100 people and loaded them up into a few helicopters, those big Chinooks where you can carry a bunch of people, and flew them out to an abandoned island, and this abandoned island, you know, nobody can get on or off it, and nobody's coming to help them, and but it has everything you need. There's fresh water, there's food sources, there's raw materials to build things and construct boats and fishing equipment and hunting equipment, and you gave them just a little bit of gear, you know, a little bit of survival gear, because most people have plenty of survival gear, because survival gear isn't just tactical stuff, it's anything you use to survive. You gave them enough so that they weren't dropped off there with an immediate need to turn into cannibals. And you came back in about 2 years, you'd probably find that there were some babies that had been born. There'd be some people that were occupying kind of the medical profession. There would be leadership set up that would be, you know, put in place and agreed upon by the group. There would be structures built for people to live in and to sleep in. There would be people that had different assignments to go out and collect or grow food in different ways. And there would be a little microcosm of society there. That's what would happen. In scenarios like that, it's what has always happened. Because humans, by their nature, are community builders. So that's why I believe if you improve your skill set, if you have something you can do that has a value to others in any type of rebuilding or modification of an economy, and I think that's more what we're in for, is we're going to see our economy modify itself to change. We're going to stop buying so much overseas crap. People are going to start to realize, you know what? My kid's future is worth more than paying 20 cents less for this plastic piece of junk by bringing it in from China. You know what? I'll pay a dollar more for this item to buy it from a local economy, let alone just America. And we're going to rely a lot less on imports in the future because people are going to wake up to it. I think that's going to happen. And that's going to mean whatever you can do to be participant in that society is going to help you. And I think we're getting there. I think that the more these idiots in Congress do, the more the idiots in the Treasury and the idiots in the Fed do to screw this economy so that they can get richer at our expense, the more a spirit of revolution is building in people's hearts. And because of that, sooner or later, we're going to rise up and start to take this place back. Because the one thing about America is we have a tremendous spirit here. Now, that spirit's been trampled on, spit on, and put down for a long time, but it's beginning to resurface. People are starting to look to people like Ron Paul and going, this guy makes sense. Right? People look at Ron Paul and say what an abysmal failure his candidacy was. The guy got millions of people to vote for him. Millions. Millions of Americans said, yes, I want something better. Millions. Not thousands, millions. All right? There's only 300 million of us. You're talking about whole percentage points of the population willing to give liberty and freedom a chance. If Ron Paul had ran as a Republican nominee in 1988 or 1992, he would have been laughed at. It would have never happened, right? He feels like, well, he was laughed at. No. He was made fun of by the mainstream media in spite of everything that was done to put the man down, okay? In spite of that, millions of people still supported him. Millions. Even by taking a remarkably unpopular position. People say that they're against the war, but when he says, okay, you know what, we're pulling out of Iraq, we're pulling out of Afghanistan, a lot of people go, whoa, wait, we can't just pull out, right? In spite of that, millions. Why? Because he talks common sense. So that spirit of rebellion and revolution is here to Jesse Ventura and the people that follow him and listen to him. And made him governor of one of the largest states in the United States of America. That he did a phenomenal job with, by the way. And some of the things that he's going to be doing that I'll be talking about probably tomorrow and letting you know, it's going to be announced on Alex Jones' show today. So all of that gives me a lot of hope. And that says to me, well, then we need to be thinking about ways to live the better life if times get tough, or even if they don't, because they might not get as tough as we're expecting. And we should be setting up that lifestyle that I talked about forming in your heart yesterday. So let me just go into some different ideas that I have. And again, I'm not going to name every idea. And we should keep the thread that's going on the forum right now about this going with other suggestions and ideas. All I'm hoping is that I say one thing and you go, well, I don't even want to do that, but it gives me this other idea of what I could do. It kickstarts your mind and it makes you think because it costs nothing to use your brain. It costs not a dime to use your brain. And it costs a fortune to choose not to. So I want to get you using your brain today. Okay, I'm going to start off with something I mentioned yesterday because I think it is one of the most underutilized niches in America today. And that is making video instructionals on how to do certain things. People want to know how to do things. And they don't necessarily want to know how to cook from a gourmet cook that's on the Food Channel that uses the most expensive of everything and the best of everything. They may want to know how to cook food that grows in their local community. And if you made a show about food you grew in your garden, okay, and how to prepare it both immediately and to preserve it for use in the future, you'd probably be able to get a lot of people paying attention to what you're doing, subscribing to your channel, and if you put out 2 videos a week, 10 minutes each, that would probably be enough to build an audience with. You build an audience of thousands. And every time you put a new video up, they go, look, I guarantee you if you go out and effectively market some sponsorship opportunities, you'll be able to get companies that sell into that niche to advertise with you. People are looking all the time for ways to advertise, all right, their products and services. All right, and that means you're able to do something you actually like and benefit from it. Trust me, folks, I will sell sponsorships to this show eventually. I'm just not ready to do it yet. And I'll give you a little bit of advice on that. Most of the people that have shows and websites and everything, sponsors are anybody that will pay the bill. Folks, it doesn't have to be that way. You can have complete, total integrity and concern for the people that you serve, and only advertise to them what you feel is good, quality, and right. And I'm going to drop a secret on you. When I'm ready to start selling sponsorships on this, I'm going to go to my audience. I'm going to find about 10 of you guys that want to serve on an ad council for me. It's going to be a volunteer thing. You're not going to get paid for it. But I think it'll be a pretty easy thing to do. And all it's going to be is I'm going to set up a private group on the forum. And whenever there is a prospective sponsor that's gotten past me, at least to where I'm like, well, consider these people, I'm going to put down who they are, what they are, information about them, links to all the sources that I can find on them, their media kit, all that good stuff. I'm going to let this council of listeners evaluate them And if they don't get 80% vote thumbs up, okay, they don't get a sponsorship. You can do that, too. And you can set whatever rate you go, 80% is pretty high. I mean, if we had 70, I mean, you do what you want with your show, right? You could podcast like I do. And it doesn't have to be on survivalism, right? I did this because it's passionate for me. I love it, and I know a lot about it, all right? And you might say, well, I don't have the voice for podcasting. Do you have the knowledge for video, all right? Because I have a voice and a face made for radio, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not that great on video, as far as I'm concerned. But if you're, you know, a little more attractive than me, and you know how to do things, and you don't have to be attractive for the video, I'm making a joke there. But if you could show people how to do something they don't know how to do, they'll pay attention, all right? So that's just one idea. Another idea, and this is going to be totally different direction. One of the largest growing segments of society is the elderly, okay? And a lot of them need a little bit of help. They're not in extended care facilities. They don't need somebody to change a diaper for them. What they need is someone to go to the grocery store with them because it's hard on them when they leave the house. And if they made one less trip a week, okay, then it would be better. They need someone to come by the house and say hello because the family that they have works and only gets by on weekends. All right. They need someone to go through their bills and make sure they paid them right. They need just a little bit of help, and the family that cares about them can't give them all of it because of time constraints. And maybe each one of these people that you would serve needs an hour or two a week, all right, of just assistance. And kind of an elder care side business may be something you can do. It may be something you can do part-time relatively quickly because there's such a large segment. Now, I don't know the legal things that you need to do. I would think there's very little you would need to do legally, but you may want to do some things to give confidence to the people that would hire you, like getting yourself bonded, doing a background check on yourself and making it available to people, something like that, making sure you put together a concise history of who you are, where you live, where you've worked, that type of thing, so that people can review that. But to me, that's a very easy thing to do. It's a demand that's going to continue to grow, and it's a good thing for your community, and it will do, above all things, expand the network of people you know in your community. I also think it's a good business because it's probably not something I'm going to do, because it's not something I think I would enjoy as much as maybe my wife might do this at some point. She might enjoy it more than me, so I think you should do what you enjoy. But if I wanted to set something like this up, right here in Arlington, Texas, there's 1 million people. In the whole metroplex around me, there's 6.2 million people. There's no reason I couldn't do it here. But I could go up to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and set the same thing up. I guarantee you, small-town America, you could set up a business like this. So this is another opportunity I think is out there for people with growth potential, and it's meaningful, and you don't have to charge a ton of money to be profitable doing it, because your only expense is going there and your time. All right, because anything that you would go out and buy and purchase or whatever for them, like if you did grocery runs or something like that, obviously they would have to pay for that. All right, so that's another opportunity, and there's probably 1,000 permutations that could be done in elder care, in home, you know, running activities, maybe being someone that you go to the various elder care facilities, the ones that are more like a little hotel. Or a little condominium complex where people are not totally being cared for, where they kind of live independently, but they need activities. And maybe creating special activities, and maybe if you had, I don't know, 10 of them, 10 of these, or 20 of these facilities, that you went to each one of those once a month, 10 times a month, you could probably do fairly well for yourself. So that's another perfect. So again, you got to think. Use your mind. The most powerful thing you have in this world is your mind. All right, the best opportunities aren't even being done yet. All right, here's totally different scenario. All right, moving into the pet industry, I know people go out and pick up dog poop for a living, and I read a story about one guy doing it in a community. I think it was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that made $140,000 last year gross. And when he was interviewed, he said his expenses came up to about $15,000 for gas. That was his only real expense. And what he does, he goes out to yards for like $5, $10, whatever it is a week, and picks up dog crap for people. Now, that stinks. I ain't gonna do it, but that's a damn good paycheck to pick up dog poop. All right. Now, if you want to make real money on that, I guess you got to be in kind of a bigger community with high population densities. Because if you know, I have a big yard, my dog craps and it just does whatever it does. It goes back into the earth. I'm not paying somebody to pick it up, and I'm not picking it up myself. But all these suburban yards with these small lots that have dogs, and the dogs have a week of dog poop, especially if you bought two dogs, geez, it's kind of, you know, overbearing. You know, so that's another crazy sounding, but, you know, legitimate way to earn, is at least in one person's case, six figures on it. I also think the pet industry is something, I mean, people will give up a lot of things before they'll give up their pets. So either dog sitting, pet sitting, cat sitting, dog walking, dog training, anything like that, that's an industry to look at, especially if you have a passion for it. You know, I keep snakes, and if I go away for a week, my snakes really don't need any care whatsoever, but if it's more than that, they need to be checked on, they need to be watered, they need to be fed, and a lot of people that would take care of dogs wouldn't do it for snakes, especially my collection of almost 20. So, fortunately, I have never gone away long enough where they can't really be okay by themselves, but it is something that some people may have a need for. Now, I think you'd have to be in kind of a fairly large population area to specialize like that, but that's another opportunity. One of the biggest expenses that people have today is electricity. I don't know how to do it yet, okay? I don't. But I know there are low-cost alternatives to these massive photovoltaic and wind generation electrical systems. There are ways to build things yourself, to acquire lower-cost components, to piece them together, and to low-cost provide some level of solar and or wind power to your home. All right, there's actually some products out there, some informational products, that supposedly teach you how to do this for $200 or $300 or whatever. I'm actually going to buy some of them. I thought about selling them on the site. I'm like, I'm not going to do it until I'll pay for them out of pocket. I'll review them. I'll see if they're valid. But one way or another, I'm going to figure out, you know, good product on that type of information, how to do it. And I don't want a lesson in everything. I want, go get this, bolt this here, put that there, wire this to this. When you get to this point, call an electrician in and have him tie in the final whatever, you know. But if somebody would learn, somebody would teach themselves what they need to do to be able to go in and put in a solar and wind generation alternative energy source in their community at a price point that would pay itself back in 3 years or even 4 years, you would probably quickly find more business than you could handle. If you came to me right now and said, this is going to cost you $4,000, but it will pay itself back in 3 years on this home. Here's proof that it works. Here's how it works. Here's exactly what I'm going to do. Here's where I'm going to put it. You know, this is what you're paying per kilowatt hour. This is how many kilowatts this thing's going to generate. This is how it's going to work for you when your power goes out and give you some lighting, etc. I'd give you the money, and I'd say, go do it. All right, as long as you'd convince me that I could trust you not to rob my house while you're installing this stuff. I think that's a tremendous business opportunity. All right, and I think there's multiple ways to do this. And I don't think that it has to cost 15 grand for me to kill 10% of my electric bill. Because if that's the case, I ain't doing it. All right, so I think it's up to people to be creative, innovative, and use their knowledge to develop a way to do this. And maybe it's something you can't do everything with. I would think, and I'm just about willing to bet, that if you're not an electrician, there are certain steps, especially if you're charging for somebody to somebody's paying you to do it for them, that there's certain steps that an electrician should come in and look at, inspect, and do the final tie-in to certain circuits and what have you. But you're talking about maybe an hour's work from an electrician. And you're talking about over time you're going to be able to send maybe one or two electricians you keep on retainer a lot of work like that. They know exactly what they're doing every time. And the better you get, the less difficult it's going to be for them. They'll probably cut you a pretty good deal over time. And I think that is one of the most amazing opportunities for people today. I think the time for people to act on it, if it's something you want to do, is now. Because All the big, giant companies that do this right now are charging huge amounts of money for it. They're serving very wealthy people that are in vogue by being green. They're not serving middle-class people that want to cut the cost of their electricity. They're selling this carbon footprint bullshit, save the planet crap. All right, come to me and show me how to put money back in my pocket. Create energy independence for me as local as possible. My home, you'll earn my money, you'll earn my business. So I think that's another great opportunity. How's this one? If you are in an area with a lot of people, especially any kind of population, with a high number of children that go to college, not necessarily where you are, but they go to college somewhere, and parents pack them up in a vehicle, a new car or a used car. Unfortunately, too many of our parents are stupid, and they buy 18-year-old kids that don't know, have a clue, brand-new cars, right? What if you just set up a seminar specifically geared for 16 to 20-year-olds to teach them basic auto maintenance, repair, and you know, just how things work with a car, what to do in certain scenarios, how not to get ripped off by repair houses and repair shops, what questions to ask, how to do things simple like changing an air filter for $2 instead of paying the garage $30 to put a $2 air filter in. All things like that. Most, you know, men, middle-aged, 30-something and up men, grew up at a time where cars were still easy to work on, and even with the new cars, that type of thing you still know how to do, right? That's something that can be set up, marketed to the communities. There's ways to reach high school audiences, especially graduating seniors, to reach their parents. The schools sell access to that quite easily. If you ran a few seminars, you know, especially around graduation time, now that Johnny's getting a car, he should know these things. Send him here, $30 for a four-hour course. Right, $30 for 4 hours doesn't sound like much, but what if there's 20 kids in there? All right? You can see that it's almost like an instant fabrication of money. Now, can you build a full-time income with it? Probably not. But I bet you could build a good, solid secondary income stream with something like that. How simple. And is there a need? You bet your ass there's a need. How many of these people driving around today in their 20s, 30s, don't have a freaking clue how their car works? They don't know that when the idiot light comes on, the reason that people like us call it an idiot light is because by the time your warning light comes on in your car, something's bad wrong. They don't know what to listen for, what to feel for. They don't know how to check tire pressure. Oh, the guy does that when I change my oil. Well, how many miles do you drive a year? About 12,000. So how often do you get your oil changed? Twice. Okay, twice. It should be four times, but fine. Twice. Okay, so you go 6 months between having the tire pressure checked. They don't know that their tires are supposed to be rotated. They don't know that they could actually save money by rotating your tires. It's pretty easy. All right? How to rotate a tire, how to put on a spare, how to evaluate, will a can of fix-a-flat get this car to a repair shop that's only a mile away? When do I call AAA and sit an hour and wait, and when do I take care of the problem myself? When is it safe to drive? How many kids, I say kids, I'm talking 20-somethings, especially females, I don't mean to be hard on women, but it's, women are more less likely to understand these things than men for just interest levels. Men are usually more interested in mechanics. But girls sat on the side of the road waiting for AAA or waiting for a dad or a friend or a husband or a boyfriend or somebody to come get them because the car was doing something wrong and they knew it was wrong, but they didn't know how wrong it was. They didn't know, hey, man, if this is okay to drive 2 more miles with. Or it wasn't okay, they drove the 2 more miles and you had a stuck thermostat and blew the motor. All these types of things. And educational, because defensive driving doesn't teach this crap, all right? When I was in high school, that was part of defensive driving. We learned how the car worked. We learned all these things that made you a just like a responsible gun owner should know more than just gun safety. They should know how to clean the gun, how to service the gun, what ammunition belongs in the gun, what ammunition doesn't belong in the gun, right? How to store the gun, all the things that go with, you know, basic safe operation. Well, that's how vehicles, that's how we should be trained, but we're not. So there's an opportunity there. And again, how simple and how easy and how wide and broad is that opportunity? Again, even in small town America, all right, there's probably plenty of opportunity for that. two other skills you can learn on your own. There's plenty of video tutorials, there's books, there's everything you could possibly need. And, you know, your only real investment other than that is some software. Maybe go ahead and take a couple community college, continuing education courses, or either graphic design or programming on some level. If you're going to learn programming, learn PHP programming. All right, and if you think programming is over your head, it probably isn't. It's probably something you can learn. And programming and graphics design are two areas where people can, you know, work from anywhere. And there's always just seems to be somebody that needs something like that done. And large design houses, large programming shops charge a lot of money. And smart money started going to India and Romania and Russia and Thailand and things like that recently, because you could get programming done very inexpensively over there. But very quickly, the American entrepreneurs figured out, I can't hire these people. They're good programmers, but they don't really understand what I want. I can't communicate well with them. There's a time differential that's a real pain in the ass. And they never bring anything to the table. In other words, they never say, hey, I can make this better, bye. But for instance, we hired a kid up in Indiana that worked for $8 an hour, that lived in his mom's basement, that was so much more valuable than a $4 an hour Indian programmer. It was amazing. And when he wanted to raise his rates to $12, we paid him. All right? The overseas programmers don't tend to be able to document what they do so that it can be worked on by somebody else in the future, because when you outsource, you cannot depend on being able to outsource to the same guy again. He's independent. He may decide, I don't want to do this anymore. All right? So you need good, solid documentation. So we've been outsourcing now to American programmers when we need to. We outsource to Canada. We outsource to the United Kingdom. And I would probably be pretty quick to outsource to Australia. Any place where they speak English. Right? So we can understand each other. Because when you're trying to build something that doesn't exist, it's one thing if you go, I need some service done on this site, and here's a punch list, and go do this. That you can outsource that anywhere. But when you're building something from scratch that doesn't exist, right, and you need to be able to communicate and explain what it's supposed to do, it's hard to work with these people. So that's a good skill set. Graphics design, I don't think that, to me, that's not as valuable as programming. It's a great skill to have, though, and if you're a developer or programmer who can do a little bit of graphics design and make sites look halfway decent and make some halfway decent graphics to do things with, those two skills together can probably find you a lot of work. Now, you're going to have to work to sell yourself. But, you know, all I can tell you is that there's more and more people doing more and more things online every day, and they're looking for the most cost-effective ways that they can find to get them done. So if you can figure out how to make $20 an hour doing these things, and there's places where you can go and look for work. There's Rent-A-Coder. There's a place called Odesk, where if you have these skills already, you can go submit portfolios. You can go say, and it's kind of like eBay. Like every time you do work for somebody, they rate you. And the more of a track record you build, the more you can charge, the more people will want to hire you. And there's people that make entire livings off of just those two sites, just by saying, here's what I can do, here's what I've done, and here's my rate. And so that's another skill set that I think is highly valuable. Now, how highly valuable will that be if the electrical grid fails? Not at all. But, again, my belief is that we will always continue to rebuild society. So if that's what you like, there's nothing wrong with pursuing that. And the guy that works for me and does most of my development at my company he has a degree in marketing from a fairly prestigious college. But he learned how to do programming development, but started out by buying a book and then just started doing it. And I could care less what your educational background is when it comes to stuff like that. I care what you can do. So there's just another opportunity. Back to energy real quick. How about this? How about you learn every way there is to cut an electric bill? All right? Every possible way there is to cut an electric bill. Better lights, additional insulation, whatever, all right? And all you do for people is go into their home, look for all the places they can save, and write them a plan for their house on how to cut their electric bill. And you charge them some, you know, like, I don't know, and you set your own pricing. Maybe you don't like this pricing schedule, but, I mean, this would be something I would just throw the money at you if you came in and did it for me. Say $29 for the initial consultation. And maybe you have 2 hours into that. So you've made only $15 an hour. But what you say is, we take your electric bill from last year, and for the next 6 months, my fee is 50% of what you save. And I'll even throw the 29 or the, you know, whatever initial charge back against it. So if over 6 months you save $500, you owe me $250 minus my $30 or $220. That's a pretty hard deal to say no to. Again, this is something you're going to go have to market yourself and what have you, but if you figure out how to do it and you do it good and you make a real difference for people, once you sell yourself to a few dozen people, you'll get more word-of-mouth business than you can handle. So that's another one that doesn't require any kind of special certifications and things like that. So, you know, that's just another opportunity out there, and I think there's tremendous opportunity with that. I've talked to people that have done it for themselves, that have cut their electric bills by 30 to 40% without any expensive modifications to the home. It was just simple things like buying the right kind of drapes, buying the right kind of shades, putting automatic timers to work. A lot of people have these automatic timers for their thermostat. They don't know how to work them, right? Well, they have a pool, and they just plug it in and pull it out. If they had a timer, somebody to show them how to set it and things like that. So there's another opportunity. And to me, I look around and all I see are opportunities. It kills me that I'm one man with 24 hours a day to work because I'm like, I could do all of these things. None of them are that hard. Okay, I might be a Texas redneck born of a coal miner's son, but I can do this. And if I can do this, anybody else can too. So despite the spitting on our Constitution by our government, the destruction of our economy by the Federal Reserve, I look around and I still see America as the greatest bastion of opportunity for people that want to build second incomes or full-time incomes for themselves, independent of any company and independent of the government that's out there. Now, there's a lot of regulation I wish wasn't in the way, and a lot of this stuff you might have to check into what licensing or code or other bull crap getting in the way, but, that's neither here nor there. You got to figure that out for yourself, and you make a decision based on what you're willing to do. But there's just tremendous opportunity. Here's one more opportunity for you. If there's any kind of tourism, especially natural tourism in your area, like a national forest, hiking trail, something like that, a company, a business that all you do is when tourists get there, you basically give them guided tours, guided hiking trips where they learn about things rather than just take a walk from point A to point B. That's if you wanted to be hands-on. Hands-off version of this. Go out and buy yourself 10 GPSs. I wouldn't buy 10 at first, but maybe you ramp up to that. And what your business is a person comes to you and says, we're going to be in town on these dates. When we go hiking, this is the type of things we'd like to see in the area. You have a massive database of all this type of stuff, okay? You plug it all into a GPS for them. They show up. They give you, a credit card so that you can charge them and have a deposit against the GPS. You hand them the GPS and show them how to use it and say, off you go. They come back at the end of their trip. You refund their deposit, keep your fee, and they return the GPS and you do it again. All right? I mean, come on, folks. I'm not a brilliant guy, really. I mean, I'm just a normal guy like anybody else. I just think about these things. So what I'm saying, again, is all of these things I'm throwing at you today. If you look at all of them and go, I don't want to do any of that, start thinking, look around, what can you do? Garden consulting, I think, is going to become big. My sister's down here from Pennsylvania. And I grew up there and I did a lot of gardening. And what I've learned from her is since I've left, gardening kind of went out of vogue. A lot of the older people that kept it alive have died. All right, these are my grandfather's generation, my grandmother's generation. And it kind of went away. Well, this economic crunch is hitting people in places like Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania, a lot harder than it's hitting people here in Dallas, Texas. That community's in tough shape. I mean, my grandfather told me that if the Great Depression happened and they had to tell us. The Great Depression ended and they had to tell us. We never really noticed much of a difference. We just kept digging coal out of the ground and we're glad we had some for our homes to keep it warm. And we went out and shot things and fished and planted gardens so we had something to eat. And it's pretty much the way it's always been here. All right. Well, even that area kind of partook of the technology boom and everything like that, and telecommuting and all those things. So the economy started to improve there. So people went away from that. She said that now people are going back to gardening. That's one of the first things she told me when she saw my garden in the backyard. Yeah, a lot of people around home are starting to grow gardens again. So that is an interest. So you might have a business where you go out and create a garden for people. You show them what to plant. You do their initial bed preparations for them. A lot of people won't get out there with a shovel and start breaking sod. And if you've got the equipment to do it quickly and efficiently, maybe you set up one garden every weekend. Right? You can do that all through the year because you don't have to be planting initially to do the setup. Setting up raised beds, whatever. Bringing in dirt, you know. Instead of competing with landscaping that's just dominated by illegal immigrants now, right? You go out and you say, this is what we'll do. We'll come in. We'll set up a garden. We'll set up your crop rotation schedule. We'll show you what to plant, when to plant. We'll tell you how to do it. We'll write you a schedule. We'll tell you when to water. We'll set up irrigation if that's what you want. We'll throw drip lines in. All you do is bring the hose out, plug it in, and turn it on. Right? Or maybe it's, we'll completely run your garden for you. I don't know. It's up to you. That's the beauty of this. You do whatever you want. I think so many people are in an employee mindset where you get to work and your boss tells you what you have to do that day, and he tells you what to do after somebody told him what he has to do, right? You punch your time clock, whatever. You're under all this control, and you tell people, hey, look, you can do whatever you like if you work for yourself. My biggest advice, though, is don't just print off a bunch of business cards. Call yourself a president and think that you're in business. Go out and find a way from day one to start charging money if you're doing something hands-on. You should be able to do that. You should be able to go out and tell a guy, look, here's the thing. I want to be a garden consultant. I don't have any clients yet. I have built my own. Here's what my garden looks like. Here's what I produced last year. All right? I do know what I'm doing. I'm looking for my first customer. I want some reviews. I want some testimonials. I'll build it for you at cost. And it's going to take me a little longer than once I get up and ramped up. But I'll do it at cost. And maybe you do your first two or three at cost, and you can build a portfolio. And you say, here's people that you can call that I've already done this for. Most people won't do it because they'll know you wouldn't have offer if it wasn't available. So those people won't be bothered too much. And every time you do one, take pictures, get testimonials, stay in touch with your customer base, build your customer base. I don't care if it's gardening or pet sitting. No matter what it is, stay in touch with your customers. They're your source of more customers, right? So I hope this has given you some ideas. Again, I could go on for hours and hours on end, folks. I'm almost to the office now. I need to sign off, right? But I could go on for hours about business opportunities. I'm driving down the road, looking on the side of the road and seeing opportunities to do things as I go, all right? I'm looking at all this heavy construction equipment. As I go by one of these construction sites, and I bet you if you went by and said, hey, you know what I do? I service heavy construction equipment. Grease it, oil it, lube it. I'll come by once a week and do that for you. A lot of the guys that say we already have somebody that does that, but I bet you there's opportunity to do that. All right? You know, and that's just, and that might be a bad one. I don't know if that's a valid opportunity. I know back when I was in that industry, a lot of the manufacturers were already trying to set something like that up, so that might be dominated already. But I doubt it, especially in small areas. You know, I think it's probably something that's out there. I know that there's people that come to my office and do oil changes in the parking lot, but they don't carry the oil for my special car, so I don't give them money, but I would. It would save me a trip to the oil station. There's just so much out there. So when I said yesterday to increase your secondary income stream, figure out ways to have additional income, these are just some of the ways that could be done. You know, I've done it primarily online. Eventually, when we move to Arkansas, though, I want something that's more of a hands-on thing because I miss that part of my life now that I'm mostly a technical person. This show is going to become a major part of my life at some point, more so than it is already. It's going to be something maybe I do 4 hours of talk a day or something in the future, not just an hour. I might have a gun show. I might even bring in a staff at some point and have a whole radio network built off of this concept. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. You know, it's going to be as much as I'm willing to give myself headaches with. All right? So as long as I still enjoy it, because this is mine, I own it, it's me, and it's you, it's all of us together, figuring out how to live that better life if times get tougher, even if they don't. So, folks, I hope that's helped you out. I hope that you're out there now with a hunger and a thirst for something. But let me caution you on one more thing before I go today. Do not fall into these fast money bullshit hype things online. So-and-so makes $100,000 a day. Easy money machine. Instant cash flow. If it says any of that crap or anything like it, delete it. All right? Those things are all scams. They're all scams. And all these, you know, your buddy that's selling noni juice or vitamins or whatever, and all you have to do is tell friends and referral marketing, and it's network marketing. It's like Amway, but it's not Amway. All that crap. Stay away from that crap, too. I'm sorry. I even made some money in that world. All right. That is, stay away from that stuff. There's so much opportunity for real, concrete, honest business, right? And then when you have customers, when if you do the show thing like I do, and you have listeners, excuse me, above all, respect them, honor them. If you build email lists, if you build blog readers, if you build anything like that, respect and value them, okay, above all else. Because without them, you don't matter. That's why I try to respect and value you folks. Because without you, my show doesn't matter. I'm just some crazy guy talking into a headset while he drives on the street and people look at me. The only reason I matter is because you listen. So hopefully today listening was worth your time. Hopefully it's got your brain churning and you're thinking, how can I make a difference in my local community? How can I expand my local economy? And the most local of all economies, folks, as always, is surrounded by the walls and roof of your home and filled and made up of your family and loved ones, all right? So keep it local has a whole new meaning after yesterday's show, and I'm going to keep bringing that back to you. So again, make sure you go by the site, thesurvivalpodcast.com, comment on this episode, comment on our forum, participate in the community, join the listener appreciation contest. We're so close, folks. We went from like 600 listeners on FeedBurner a week ago to over 800 this week. We grew by 200 listeners in a week. It is October 1st today. Contest has not been won yet. We haven't hit 1,000. Folks, the iPod or the silver is coming. Join that contest if you haven't yet. Tell other people about our show. I'm going to tell you about some people that are doing things I can't believe to spread the word about this show tomorrow, just to let you know what's going on out there. And again, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. This has once again been Jack Spirko with the Survival Podcast, helping you figure out how to live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't.
You can scream and you can holler, it really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.